Prescribed burning is a time-honored land management strategy for prairies and parkland, but it's essential that the people who conduct these burns know what they're doing. Otherwise, they risk fires getting out of control and spreading. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about a new Burn Boss training program with a couple of guests, Jeb Barzin, one of them, chairman of the Wisconsin Prescribed Fire Council, and an ecologist for Private Lands Conservation LLC in Spring Green. Jeb, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Larry. It's great to be here again. Thank you.
Always fun to talk with you. Also with us today, Christina Weld. Christina, a training specialist for the Wisconsin Prescribed Fire Council. And Christina, welcome to you. Thanks for joining in.
Thanks. My pleasure.
As we talk with our guests, I hope you'll join in. Have you watched a prescribed burn? We always call them controlled burns. I think that's what we used to call them. I'm going to ask you about that. Anyway, prescribed burns, maybe you've marveled at the foliage that springs up after a burn. Or what would you like to get trained to take part in prescribed burns? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Jeb, let's start with you. You're chairman of the Wisconsin Prescribed Fire Council. Talk about what the council does, its goals.
Well, you know, the bottom line is we're the only organization in the state who's solely focused on getting more fire on the ground safely and effectively. And that's because we need it. There's estimates that we need to be burning 1 million acres a year just to maintain the rich diversity that we're blessed by in Wisconsin. But we only are getting done about 75,000 acres a year. Out of a million. And so there's a huge gap between where we know we need to be and where we are right now. And so the Fire Council's wanting to try to take this on, not solely, but through partnerships. We're certainly anxious and willing and engaged to figure out ways of making that happen throughout the state.
So when and where is prescribed burning? I mean, you talked about 1 million acres. And we've got a lot more acreage than that in the state. When and where is it needed?
There are fire adapted communities everywhere in Wisconsin, and most of the species that are in decline right now are in decline in part because there isn't that fire. So it's a tremendously important resource that's out there, but even all the CRP lands and EQIP programs and Partners for Wildlife and lots of different programs like that are all dealing with these what we call ecosystems that need fire. And so they'll even do things like give us more water, give us more carbon stored, and do all kinds of things in addition to protecting species. So pretty much the whole state is fair game, but how we approach each part of the state is a different question.
Yeah. Christina, I turn to you. How did you get involved in this? I mean, what's your background?
Yeah. So I got into this when I bought a parcel of land in Sauk County and moved on to 30 acres of woodlands that I then had to figure out what needed to happen with. And I was lucky enough to work with a DNR forester who was like, hey, you have some cool spaces here that could benefit from some prescribed fire. And that actually caused me to take a career change into conservation and ultimately prescribed fire.
Wow. There you go. So what knowledge and skills does a person need to safely conduct a prescribed burn?
A lot. It really depends on where you are in the scheme of the burn in terms of leadership. So when you're first starting out prescribed fire, you're just going to be a crew member on a burn. So you're not having to make a lot of decisions. You're getting pretty clearly told what to do, where to go. But you still have to understand how the weather impacts the fire, how the topography impacts the fire, how your ignitions might impact the fire, and then when and where and how to keep the fire in the box. And that's just at that basic crew level. As you advance, you can be a squad boss where you're directing those crew members, usually 3 to 5 people, on basically a half of the fire. And then above the squad boss, you have your burn boss. And they really have to have the full picture of all of the notifications needed, the permits, where to start the fire, whether that's an appropriate day to do that fire or whether a different day would be better. So really, depending on where you are in that hierarchy, you know, the skills have to increase as you go up.
Typically in a prescribed burn, what's the kind of acreage are we talking about? Is there some average or not?
Really any acreage. So it can be anywhere from someone's rain garden that might be 10 feet by 10 feet that still provides great pollinator habitat and benefits from burning, to hundreds or thousands of acres in contiguous wildlife management areas or woodlands.
You know, and you can do good work on any of those scales, and you can also mess up on any of those scales. So, you know, you always have to be careful if you're putting fire on the ground, because you can make mistakes, and that's the point of the training. But I also kind of want to mention one other thing. Christina's description of how she got involved with prescribed fire, I think, is really fun. And I know this is radio, but I swear I saw a lot of your listeners nodding their head as saying they are, you know, experiencing the same sort of thing. And Wisconsin's 85% privately owned. And so if we're going to move the dial in terms of getting more fire on the ground safely and effectively, we have to be doing things that help Wisconsin landowners, that are, you know, for private landowners, as much as we do help nonprofit organizations or working with DNR or with other organizations that are interested in fire. And I think that's an important distinction, because everything that Christina said is true, but how we go about training a private landowner to burn on their own property is really different and relatively much easier than it is to train somebody to burn throughout the, you know, southern third of Wisconsin, you know, multiple times, you know, in the year and that sort of thing. And so the Burn Academy is more for the professional end of the gradient. And, but we also are trying to reach out with private landowners to figure out how we can empower them to do safe and effective prescribed burns on their own property. And that's a different concept.
A different concept entirely. Talking about prescribed burns today and the Burn Boss program with our two guests, Jeb Barzin, chair of the Wisconsin Prescribed Fire Council, and an ecologist in private lands conservation for Private Lands Conservation LLC. It's headquartered in Spring Green. Christina Weld, the training specialist for the Wisconsin Prescribed Fire Council. Questions for them, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or you can email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Great to have you along today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, talking today with Jeb Barzin and Christina Wells about prescribed burns and the program that they have going that is looking at how you might become a burn boss, or how might you learn to really do a proper job with a prescribed burn. And you can join in. The number is 800-642-1234, or email to talk@WPR.org. How many people do we currently have who are skilled and, you know, meet the qualifications to be involved in a lead a prescribed burn?
Well, that's part of the problem, Larry. We don't know.
Oh.
You know, there hasn't been traditionally a way to keep track of that, and there hasn't been even a traditional way of defining what those qualifications are. So when the Fire Council decided to begin work with the Department of Natural Resources, the very first thing that we had to do is just start kind of saying, well, what does a prescribed burn boss in Wisconsin really need to know? And how do we get people to a place where they can learn that? And so we started really from scratch.
Corey in Dodgeville has a question for us. Let's go there. Hi, Corey.
Hi, Larry. My question is about insurance. I have been part of professional and private prescribed burns, and I'm especially interested in what we need to be telling private landowners about intentionally setting fires, which I totally agree we need to be doing more of, but how do they ensure that they're protected?
Good question. Jeb, any idea?
It is a great question, and it's a complicated answer for any individual landowner. So there are some commercial private insurance companies that will insure you for doing a prescribed burn on your own property. But some of them won't, or some of them think they will, but don't communicate very well. And so it's hard to figure it out. There aren't a lot of people who are demanding for it. And so oftentimes local insurance agents won't necessarily know the real answer to that. But there are some local commercially available insurance companies that will do that. If you're looking for insurance where, you know, as I described, where you're looking at doing burns for other people, you know, or several burns each year and in different lands and different land ownerships and that sort of thing, that's a different sort of insurance that you would need. And that's is available, but from a much smaller set of companies that can provide that. And we have a lot of information on the Wisconsin Prescribed Fire Council's website, if you're interested in looking that up. And our website is www.prescribedfire.org with an emphasis on the bark.
Oh, man. So do it once more for me.
www.prescribedfire.org. Pretty much as you would hope it to be.
Corey, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Oh, gosh. So the number of people, how do you determine the number of people that would be needed for a prescribed burn? You mentioned, Christina, you mentioned, maybe five, but that was, I'm sure, just sort of an example.
Yeah, so it really ranges. It depends on your unit size, the unit complexity, the experience of those involved, the type of weather you're burning under. So the kind of standard number that, like, if you don't have anything else to go off of, you could say seven is maybe an average. You know, big units is obviously going to take more. It could be up to as many as 20 people if you have a large complex unit. If you have a really small unit or you're burning in the evening, which a lot of landowners will do, the fire behavior tends to be much more muted and you can safely burn with just one or two people. So it really, there's so many variables that go into making that decision of how many people you need and how much expertise those people need to have.
It's a great answer for why training is needed.
Wind, somebody wondered about wind and how wind plays a factor in it. We had a little email on that. Wind plays a big factor, I'm pretty sure, Christina.
Yeah, so wind is actually a really important thing to have some of. You don't want too strong of winds. Yeah, ideally. So there's kind of, right, if you have too strong of a wind, then you're going to get faster moving fire, longer flame lengths. It's going to be harder to keep in the box. There are some times when the prescription calls for that, and that's part of why we call it prescribed fire now instead of controlled burns, is that we have a prescription for the weather parameters that we need to get the fire behavior that we need to get the outcomes that we're desiring. And so depending on your unit, there may be times where a higher wind is appropriate, but generally you want a light to middling wind. so that you know which direction the wind's going to be moving and you can plan your burn around that so that your ignition strategy is working with that known wind direction. If you have no wind, then the fire kind of gets to decide what it wants to do. And in that case, the fire will sometimes do what we call chasing fuel, where it finds good fuel and it gets hotter, and that drives the fire to keep moving that direction, which might not be what you want it to do. But since there's no wind to dictate a direction, then you can get some really unpredictable fire behavior.
I would say, as you were talking, I was thinking back to when I was probably 13 years old and on a neighboring farm when there was a burn down in a marsh, and I was on kind of on one side of this patch, and they had sort of a backfire lit, and I was going to run over to the other side because my buddy was there, and then I thought, maybe I shouldn't. It looked like a pretty big area, and suddenly that fire whipped across, and there's no way I would have made it across. That gave me a healthy respect. and I thought to myself, well, for once you didn't do something stupid. And I didn't. Oh my gosh. So let's talk about the actual training itself. And Jeb had mentioned there were a couple different kinds, but Christina, talk about the training for a burn boss.
Yeah. So we are offering our inaugural Burn Boss Academy this September 22nd through 26th. We currently have a class of 28 folks enrolled. So we do have a couple openings. If there's someone out there listening that wants to email us right away and get in, we could possibly still make that happen. So so that's going to cover kind of four broad areas. It's going to cover fire ecology. So why we burn and how we make decisions about what should get burned, when and why, fire behavior, burn plan writing, and then fire leadership. And so those are kind of the broad categories that we felt in our work with the DNR as we developed this curriculum of what we really felt a burn boss needed to know. This class is for those folks that are experienced at burns. So they may already be doing a little bit of burn bossing on smaller, simple units, and they want to increase their knowledge so that they can burn more complex units or more different fuel types than what they are currently used to. We have other classes. We have a squad boss training happening this fall and a private landowner training happening this fall that are kind of those earlier steps to help people be a crew member or a squad boss building their way towards a burn boss.
Okay, so the one is for people, the burn boss one is for people who have had some experience. So you, mm-hmm. you need to, there must be, or is there some sort of requirement in terms of the amount of experience that the person's had?
Yeah, so we recommend that the person has been a squad boss on at least 10 burns and has done at least 25 burns. Most of our applicants have burn bossed at least a couple of burns, but that's not to say that someone isn't just a very experienced squad boss and hasn't quite been ready to take that next step and is looking for some of that classroom and guided learning to help them feel comfortable with that.
And so, and this is a kind of a nice segue in terms of distinguishing what our approach is for private landowners, because again, this training is geared more towards a professional end of the spectrum, if you want to call it that. For private landowners, it's really hard to take a week out to go to the academy or to, you know, meet the criteria that Christina is outlining. But what we want to do with private landowners, and Christina is involved with this through prescribed burn associations or just interacting with private landowners, is to help step them through learning about fire in a safe way and gradually using that concept of a prescription to gradually get a little bit stronger in each of your iterations. So what I mean by that is I work with potato growers, as you may remember, Larry, and you know, when I've had them learn how to do their burns in a very short period of time, I can do the basic training so that they can be safe. And I can set them up with a fairly rigid prescription saying, you can burn this pivot corner if it's burning into a dirt field and you have to use a wind direction that moves the fire into the dirt field. That's pretty simple, and it doesn't take a lot of experience. It doesn't take the experience that Christina is talking about to teach people to do that. And then as they get more competency or they get more comfortable with prescribed fire, you can then escalate, or you can make that prescription a little bit more open, which means that they need to, it's a little bit more complicated. And so, and that's kind of the concept that we're trying to explore with private landowners is that they're in a different circumstance, and it's a lot easier to teach them how to burn their own land, which they typically know very well. And we can step them through that over time using the advantage that they're there.
Yeah.
And use that to our advantage in terms of the training. So the training, we don't call it a prescribed burn boss, but we can achieve the same results so that a private landowner can eventually be able to competently boss a burn on their property. But we just do it through a really different means because their circumstance is so different. You know, they've got a different, you know, they've got another life, and they can't, you know, put all the time and effort to kind of get that training up front and then deploy that, you know, extensively. So that's kind of what really what we're meaning, in that our overall goal is to get more fire on the ground safely and effectively. And however that we can do that, we are game to try. And private landowners offer a very different opportunity than, say, professional burn bosses.
Yeah. Gene's wondering, do you ever do prescribed burns in woodlands?
All the time.
Yeah. And the advantage of or disadvantage of it?
Well, they're a little bit more complicated, you know, so in how you can have a fire escape or the trouble is different than it is in prairies. Christina laid out well, in a prairie, if all of a sudden the wind changes direction or drops off, all the, and you described, Larry, where all of a sudden things can become dangerous in a hurry. In a woods, that's less likely to happen. But in the woods, you can get embers to lodge on dead materials up in branches that don't start kindling for a half an hour or an hour. And so you have to know that so that you can go back and patrol your lines enough so that you can catch that circumstance. And so how mistakes occur is really different in the woods than not. And, you know, just as one example. So yes, woods do need fire. Oaks basically really aren't going to survive in Wisconsin without fire, you know, on a long-term basis. You know, our oak forests are already converting to maple and basswood and buckthorn. You know, that's the bottom line, is how to kind of get this to work across that whole big spectrum.
And so for either to be a burn boss or to learn, if you're a private landowner listening in, we've got a lot of them listening in, where do they go online to get the information they need?
Yeah, so I'd recommend they go check out our website. That would be, as Jeb said earlier, prescribedfire.org. And our news and events tab, if you go there under our events, you'll see all the trainings we have planned out for this fall. And there's a whole lot of other resources on there as well. So highly recommend, we've got resources for understanding fire ecology, resources for actually implementing the burn. So a lot of really good information there for folks in addition to our events.
Well, I want to thank you both for taking time to be with us today. And we'll get an update from you down the road, see how this burn boss and the private landowner training is going. Jeb Barzin and Christina Weld, our guests today. It's great to have them with us. And it's great to have you listening in. And a big thanks to Claire Neipert, Joel Patnod, Lee Rayburn, and Jeff Robbins, and Jill Nador, executive producer. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for listening.